Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday, all sorts of glorious. It is live in Los Angeles. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and right here on FS1. Top of next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, plenty of both on a riveting, probably perhaps the best weekend of sports viewing of my life. Saturday may have been the best single day. Joy Taylor is joining me. She got back from Vegas and the fights, and that just capped off an insane Saturday.
It was great. It was a great sports day. One thing just leveled up from the next.
And it was like you'd go watch one network for one game, and that was over. And then you go to another network for another game, and it was like they were all stacked perfectly for lazy people. And I was lazy the whole weekend. It was fantastic. And I want to start the show, Joy, we should give respect to dynasties and all-time great teams. But we treat the Kansas City Chiefs, I've noticed this with the media in the last year, we give them like Shaq, Kobe, Laker dynasty treatment. That's not what they are. Kansas City's been to two Super Bowls, blown out in one, and outplayed in seven of the total eight quarters they've been in. We're treating them like they're this Warriors, Bulls, Lakers dynasty where everybody's afraid to criticize them. Folks, eight quarters they've been in the Super Bowl. They've been outplayed in seven. They've yet to beat Brady, and they're not close to Buffalo. Forget great team. Right now they're not a good team. Their defense is the worst in the NFL, and I'm including Seattle. They are now highly dependent on gimmicks. They can't run the football. Mahomes is getting increasingly sloppy. They're a finesse football team. Buffalo beats Kansas City 10 out of 10 times. Buffalo blitzed once on 63 snaps. Why? Didn't have to. Our guys are better than your guys. You blitz when your guys aren't good enough to create a pass rush. Buffalo's like, our dudes are better than your dudes. We'll bring four and get pressure. Chiefs are blitzing safeties and corners and linebackers and getting smoked. Like, this whole thing, I mean, nobody loves Andy Reid more than I do, but we all understand, right, that physicality matters in football. It's called the Patriots and Alabama dynasty. It's not been marked by always brilliant quarterback play or great weapons. I mean, New England hasn't had great weapons since, like, Randy Moss. It's defense and physicality and controlling the clock. Even in basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Raptors, and Lakers are the last three champions. Two of those three couldn't shoot threes. Giannis can't shoot threes. But all of them are big and physical and clamped down, and they handcuff you. Like, big, physical. That's basketball. That's not football. Kansas City is like a fighter that's got a good punch but can't defend himself, bad footwork. Like, they become a one-trick pony. Anytime a team goes heavy on blitzes and heavy on gimmicks, it's smoke and mirrors. I know we love Andy Reid. I know Tyreek Hill's the fastest human you've ever seen, not named Usain Bolt. I know Patrick is really, really talented. But the Buffalo Bills passed the ball less than half as much and ended up with more passing yards. That is a problem for the Chiefs. The Bills only threw the ball 26 times. Why? They didn't have to. Kansas City threw it 54 times. Why? Because they couldn't do anything else. When I can get more passing yards than you with less than half the attempts, you're not a very good football team. But the media is so petrified to get burned because, you know, Kansas City is so explosive and dynamic and fun and flashy that we fall in love with them. They're a great story. But we're treating them like the Shaq Kobe Lakers. We're treating them like Michael Jordan's Bulls. We're treating them like the Patriots dynasty. They've yet to beat old Tom Brady. They certainly wouldn't have beaten young Tom Brady. They can't beat the old version. Couldn't beat him in New England when he didn't have any weapons, and they can't beat him now. They got blown out by him. It's like, yes, they're a fun watch. They got one Super Bowl, blown out in the other. Mahomes, who's a super talent, but you start looking around the AFC now. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Like, there's a wall forming for Kansas City that they're going to have to leap over. And of all those teams, they have by far and away the worst defense. They need more gimmicks far and away than everybody else on that wall. Here's Mahomes and his problems and turnovers after.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with me. I mean, I think the three of them were on me. I mean, the interceptions and then the fumble at the end of the game. And so I have to correct that. I have to be better. It's something that I've not usually done in my career, but I have to reevaluate where I'm at, what decisions I'm making. I've been kind of a crazier player as far as scrambling and making throws, but in my career I've never been someone to throw a lot of interceptions. And so I kind of have to look at it now and go back and reevaluate what I'm doing and try to – I have to cut it out.
Good news, he's a smart kid. He's wildly coachable. But we've got to stop being terrified to be honest about Kansas City. The team that's the most fun to watch – isn't necessarily the best team, and Buffalo, top to bottom, has way more good players right now than Kansas City. I mean, Buffalo has literally had 9 defensive linemen play significant snaps. Didn't need to blitz at any point in the game. Did pretty much whatever they wanted to offensively. And that's on the road. That's on the road where you're not as good. That game's in Buffalo, gets worse. Let me start with this. As a parent... Parents will tell you how much they trust their kids by the responsibility they give their kids. Which kid do you give money to if you're going out with the other kids? Which kid do you give the keys to the car? You and your wife are leaving for the weekend. Which kid do you trust to make sure everything is right? Parents will tell you what they think about a kid's trustability and judgment based on the responsibility a parent gives the child in their family. Brandon Staley coaches Justin Herbert. They not only go for it on 4th and 1, they go for it on 4th and 7. They go for it on 4th and 4 deep in their own territory. The Chargers have absolute, he's only got 20 NFL starts. And the Chargers implicitly trust Justin Herbert with the keys to the family Mercedes at any point. That is a great player. 4th and 7, no issues. Go for it. On the road, at home, they don't care. Baker Mayfield with 50 NFL starts, the number one rated O-line, the number one rated run game, and the head coach of the year, 50 starts. Would not go for it on 3rd down when their defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. On 3rd and 10, they ran into the line. Their defense couldn't stop the Chargers. They were deep in their own territory. They were going to give the ball back at the 50. Herbert was on fire. Weapons. It would now be 4-down territory. What did that tell you about the trust and the judgment of the Cleveland coaches on Baker Mayfield? I mean, it was a jaw-dropping wow moment. Forget the fact that you don't trust him now. The coaches don't trust him. And then it can only be classified as gross negligence when Baker did get it back. And I've always said, everybody plays great with a lead. Everybody plays great when nobody knows if they have to throw. But when everybody in the stadium knows you have to throw, like, you know, that final Herbert drive, did you see what Baker did? It was embarrassing. 21 yards in a minute 26. Aaron Rodgers needs 2 plays to move 60 yards. Brady, if you give him a minute 30, has time to spare, has to throw the ball out of bounds to waste time. He did it too quickly. Baker checked down 3 straight times with no timeouts left. Okay, Baker in crisis. Again, everybody plays when the running game is good and you play with a lead and there's no pressure. You get the bag, you get $300 million when you play from behind and you have to throw. And everybody knows you have to throw. That was bad. Herbert has had 20 starts, 6 game-winning drives. And this is a kid that entered, the staff's already been fired. He entered with the worst statistical offensive line in the league. He's on his second coach in the second year in a really, really, what we perceive as a really good division. And the entire staff is just like, go for it. Fourth and seven, fourth and four. Doesn't even matter where they're at. Parents tell you what kid they trust. Coaches tell you how much trust they have. That's a head scratcher. And Kevin Stefanski, a very good coach, wonderful scheme coach, is too smart to say, I couldn't see the clock. You don't trust your quarterback. Ain't getting the bag if you don't trust your quarterback. If the Chargers were forced to pay Herbert today, the Brinks trucks would pull up behind the stadium. They made their decision. Cincinnati's made their decision on their quarterback. Josh Allen's already been paid. Mahomes got paid early. Now there was a bad call down the stretch against Cleveland. Nobody would deny that, and Baker wanted to point it out after.
I mean, late in the game, might as well just forward the fine letter. We asked the ref on the sideline how the hell he missed that call. I mean, they're shoving Donovan Peoples-Jones out of bounds, and then Higgy gets grabbed, so there's two PIs on one play. They don't call it. I mean, but we shouldn't have even been in that position. Like I said, left too many points in the field first half. But it's very frustrating when, you know, we didn't do our job enough to, you know, to just take the ball game away.
He's not wrong, and I lost a bet because of that call. And I'll give him a pass on calling out the officials because I thought it was an egregiously poorly officiated weekend by the NFL. The game last night was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. It was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. And that call against Cleveland was absolutely inexcusably bad, and the official should be suspended. That's not the only reason Cleveland lost. But in this instance, I will defend Baker calling out the officials. Because when the officiating is that bad, somebody has to be held accountable. And the NFL should step in and suspend the official that made that call up the sideline. I'm not saying that just because I had money on Cleveland. It was bad. It was embarrassing. It probably did change the outcome. But the bigger issue is, why the hell did they run it on 3rd and 10 into the line? Their defense couldn't stop Herbert all day. That is a much broader issue than a lousy officiating call.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Cowboys beat the Giants, beat them badly. Giants had a lot of injuries, but I felt Dallas was really controlling the game before that, and they're the better football team, obviously, than the Giants. They're really fast, they're very athletic, they're very dynamic, and they're really good. One of the things that the NFL has a huge advantage of over the other sports in America, and this is why they keep kind of pulling away from other sports. The NBA ratings are down, baseball's kind of plateau, the NFL's keep growing, is that when you can go from really okay to really exceptional very fast. It takes a couple of draft picks. And in the last 2 years, Dallas has hit on 4 draft picks, each in a different unit. CeeDee Lamb last year, home run, wide receiver. Trayvon Diggs last year, one of the best corners in the game. Micah Parsons, linebacker unit. And then Osa Odighizuwa from UCLA defensive line has been an absolute home run. 4 separate units have added an inexpensive star. And these are stars. These guys are elite players. When you add that to a good roster, whoa, it's a great team. And Dallas is now embarking on that. In baseball, a great draft pick goes to the minors. In basketball, great draft pick, you can't win with kids. You can in the NFL. In fact, you need great young players to offset your expensive quarterback. That's the way the league works. Now, the opposite is true, too. If you can't get the quarterback right, ask the Miami Dolphins. Your defense the following year can't stop anybody. But you can criticize Mike McCarthy, but every single NFL team, including the Buffalo Bills and the Green Bay Packers, both in week one, have had a stinker. Tampa Bay had a stinker in L.A. I've watched the Cowboys play 5 games. The game they lost, I thought they outplayed Tampa on the road. This team has not had a bad Sunday or a Monday. They haven't. They've lost 1 game. We know now the Chargers are pretty good. Beat them in L.A. We know Tampa's the Super Bowl champ. Gave them 450 yards and fits. So in 2 years, and we predicted on this show, I thought they were a playoff team. They're a good team. I've been saying this for 20 years. A good team. That'd be entertaining. But when you add to a good team, four outstanding, like elite rookie players, You make a really, really smart coordinator change to a good roster. What you have is a Super Bowl bubble team. This is one of the eight teams with a chance to win it today. And I have never been anti-Cowboy. I've been anti-hype with the Cowboys. This team's good. They're fast. They're athletic. They're young enough, but have the experience at the left tackle, at the quarterback, at the edge rusher. Just enough experience to matter. And here's Mike McCarthy after.
Yeah, I don't even think you can compare us, this team, to last year's team. It's different on so many different fronts. But we're clearly, you know, we've competed, you know, five times now, and I felt like we have played, you know, winning football in all five contests, and you know, but we were looking for more production today, and I felt like we took a step in the right direction.
Giants were injured, no doubt. But even before that, it was a fumble in the red zone or Dallas would have had a sizable lead. This is a really, really good Dallas Cowboy football team. Tampa doesn't look tight. I still can't get over the conservative play calling by Green Bay. Arizona's fantastic, but we don't know if we can trust them late. Perhaps that's the same with the Dallas Cowboys, but this is real. What you're seeing is real.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So speaking of Justin Herbert, 400 yards, he's a remarkable talent. And Jimmy Johnson said something I thought, and this takes courage to say, because I think there's a lot of people increasingly in the NFL that think this. In fact, I've talked to people over the last month about this in the league. They don't want to say it publicly, but they watch what Justin Herbert has overcome. Remember, he inherited a terrible offensive line and had to play immediately with a coach that's been fired. I always say this, I'm a lot more impressed with you if you've made your own millions over a trust fund kid. I love Mahomes, but he inherited Andy Reid and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and a good O-line and then Alex Smith, and he was allowed to slowly learn the system. Justin Herbert, here's the keys, line's bad, not sure if the coach works, good luck. That's different. Jimmy Johnson this weekend on Justin Herbert.
The Chargers, they've got a star at quarterback, Justin Herbert. You know, six touchdown passes in the red zone the last couple of weeks. And in fact, if I was drafting in the NFL today, of all the players, my number one pick would be Justin Herbert. He's that big a star.
Over Mahomes?
Over Mahomes.
He's bigger and stronger. He's never been hurt in the NFL. He plays with more discipline. Now Mahomes is a special talent. Nobody, you know, again, if you don't say somebody's great all the time, you're a hater. Mahomes is great. It's the first ballot Hall of Famer. I'd pay him every penny. But they grew up with different experiences. Herbert was the better college quarterback. He won a lot more games on a bigger stage. You know, Mahomes had a lot of yards but couldn't win games. Again, Herbert's more disciplined. He's bigger. He's stronger. And really inherited a mess, an organization that can't get out of its own way sometimes. But now they've got him a left tackle. They've got him a Pro Bowl level center. And, boy, he is special. I mean, for a guy to run that well at 6'5 and a half, he and Josh Allen, I'm just like, I mean, Kyler Murray's one thing, but when you got a 6'5 and a half guy that runs like that, I mean, it's just 20 starts and he's this good. 20 starts. I mean, we're sitting around and he is fill the stadium good. And this is a big thing. When the Chargers, as Joy and I have chronicled, moved up to L.A., it had disaster written all over it. They played in a soccer stadium for 2 years. It had disaster written all over it. Yesterday, then now they're probably 30% Browns fans. Cleveland loves their sports, and there's a lot of Ohioans all over the country, right? But this kid is fill the stadium special. Like, I have friends who bought season tickets who are not Charger fans, and they bought it to watch Herbert play 8-9 games at home. Like, that's in L.A., a distracted market. We got NBA, baseball. I have multiple friends who bought a season ticket. I got to go see Herbert. Like, that is a special quality. Brandon Staley's coach talked about it.
To win a game like this that turns into a track meet, you have to have a superstar quarterback to win it. And that's what he is. Like I told the team in there, the reason why he's being able to, you know, play the way he's capable of playing is because he has a really good team around him.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I've had the Bills as my number one team in Herd hierarchy. I told everybody when they lost to the Steelers, do not panic. This is a loaded team. I stood firm. I said, they're better than the Steelers. It will bear itself out. I think this is the deepest team in the NFL with 9 defensive linemen that can play. I think they would beat Kansas City 9 or 10 out of 10 times from tight end to wide. They didn't even need Stephon Diggs last night on the road. Imagine if this was at home. They are well coached. They also drafted the offensive line heavy. So those players, that's a tough position to come in and play immediately, will only get better with time. This has been my number one team last couple of weeks, and I thought, I didn't even think they played brilliant football. I thought they left points off the scoreboard, and they still rout the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, we had 6 picks in the Blazing 5. Started on Thursday. We won the Rams game and the Bills game. Feel great about that. Pushed on the Bengals, but 2-3-1, 40% on the year. We are undeterred, and we'll have 5 to 6 picks again this week.
Where Colin was right.
I've always said, Baker Mayfield with a lead is one thing. This is the second time this year I've seen him trailing, ball in his hands. Can't make plays. I mean, you got to move more than 26 yards in a minute 20. I don't care what the defense is. That's just not good enough. You got to take some shots down the field. That underneath stuff, you got no timeouts. Look at the clock. Manage the clock. You got no timeouts. You got to throw the ball. If you're going to dump it underneath, then throw it toward the sideline. What are you doing? Gross negligence. I don't think the coaching staff, despite what Michael Vick says, I don't think they trust him much either.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've always been a Sam Darnold fan, but I thought he had as bad a half as he has had, maybe as a pro, because I don't think it's coaching here. Now, they don't have a good O-line, and they didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and Philadelphia's defense is pretty tasty. But his trademark is reckless play, and 2 of his interceptions were bad. He had a 15-3 lead at home. You can't lose games like this. This owner is not a patient man. He's the Steve Ballmer of the NFL. And these are the kind of moments. They don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but they think they're a playoff team. And Sam gave that game away, and I don't know how many more chances he's going to get from this ownership group. Now, again, the O-line stinks. It's bottom 3 in the league, and they don't have McCaffrey. Well, that doesn't give you an excuse to throw picks with a lead late.
Where Colin was right.
Well, my skepticism on the Raiders rings true. This remains a wobbly franchise. John Gruden's now in trouble for off-the-field remarks. Once again, hot start and the wheels come off. Listen, you are what your record is. Gruden is 22-31. They've started every year red hot, but they came out, and maybe it's the locker room. I don't know. I think John's ego and his harshness has come back to haunt him here. But he's a 22-31 coach. That's what you are. And whatever happens to John going forward, I always liked him as a guy, and I think he's a really, really passionate football coach. But this entire franchise just feels off.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, Zeke is apparently not finished. I said a month ago, he looks slow. He didn't have any juice. Yeah, since then he's had 6 total touchdowns and rushed for over 100 yards a game. He really is. It's weird. First couple of weeks of the year, he just looks slow. But maybe it's the Tony Pollard took away some carries from him. But Dallas is healthy. They look good. He's currently the 3rd leading rusher in the NFL, playing with that kind of rookie year juice, that explosiveness. And he's fun to watch. Listen, with him and Pollard running like this behind the O-line, setting up 3rd and 2nd short for Dak Prescott, this offense is a handful.
Where Colin was right.
The rookie quarterback I was worried about was Zach Wilson. I said he's small, he's got a good arm, but he plays as a show-off, and he has been a turnover machine. 57% completion percentage, over 2 times as many picks as touchdowns. Listen, all these young quarterbacks have their issues. You have to be self-aware enough to not lose games for your team. May not win them. Justin Fields, it may be the defense, can't lose them. You may not have the ability to win him. He is becoming what I thought. Loose with the football, careless with the football, a need to constantly show us what an arm he has. He's got a great arm. Not disputing that. Zach's got a great arm. You don't need to show us your great arm. We get it. Use it 3 times, 4 times a game like Justin Herbert.
where Colin was wrong.
Boy, did I whiff on Denver. I had them up to number four in my herd hierarchy, and they did not deserve that accreditation. Their offense has totally dried up since I had them there. They're averaging 200 yards passing in the last 2 weeks. Their defense made Pittsburgh look like they were good. It was like Pittsburgh had a running game for the first time in 3 years. I whiffed on the Denver Broncos.
Where Colin was right.
The Kyrie Irving situation. We haven't even started year two of this Brooklyn Nets team. It's already a complete mess. Steve Nash admitting, yeah, he probably won't play home games. This is a team, right? You know, the Philadelphia 76ers stood firm with Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons today is crawling back. I know the NBA is a labor-run league, but at some point, start levying fines. Well, if you do that, what will it say to other free agents? It will say that you have to get vaccinated. It will say that it's a team and not an individual sport. Kyrie's ego and delusion and injuries, this league has let the pendulum swing way too far in the player's favor. It's a player's league. I'm not doubting that. But the minute the Sixers said, we're fining you, Ben Simmons is crawling back. This is a, we're not paying you. We're not playing you. Get your act together. This is. I feel bad for Kevin Garnett, who I think is one of the great offensive players in the top 10 in the history of Kevin Durant in the history of basketball.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking to a friend not long ago, and this friend is just moved into his 60s, and I had asked him, because he has, you know, he likes to travel. He's somebody that's got a great relationship with his wife. They travel, and I asked him about retirement, and he said, to be honest with you, he said, if you combine my experience, which really helps me in my business, and the ease in which regulations help me now, he goes, my job's never been easier. He said, if my job was as hard as it was in my 30s and 40s, I would retire. He goes, but the regulations in my business are easier to navigate. I'm better at my job. There's younger people in my space. I've got a lot more experience. He said, if this is it, why would you retire? Retire when it gets hard. Don't retire when your job gets easier. And Tom Brady yesterday throws 5 touchdowns and the thing is, Tom's, this is the first time in his career, by the way, he's had 400 plus yards and 5 touchdowns in his career. It's not because Tom is this much better. Like, the weapons are good, but he's had good weapons. Why? Because it's getting so much easier because the NFL regulations are so offensive based. Is that Tom Brady, if it was the 80s, would retire. Because you could grab him and slam him into the turf, and corners could grab wide receivers. This game is so easy for competent quarterback. Justin Herbert is a better pro quarterback than he was a college quarterback. Seriously. Kyler Murray now can be unstoppable if you give them competent protection. And so now quarterbacks play knowing they're, like Michael Vick said, you're not going to get hit. You have a good offensive line. You can't grab wide receivers. Receivers now know. A lot of you guys are young, you don't remember. In the 80s and 90s and 10 years ago, there was a term called alligator arms that was used on every broadcast. No receiver wanted to go over the middle. You tried to draft one big guy who would be willing to go over the middle. Every receiver goes over the middle. You can't hit him anymore. You can't hit him anymore. And so, and then players never want to go too low and hurt a guy's knees. There's an unspoken, there's an unspoken rule. Don't take a guy's knees out. Well, now you can't hit them high. You can't hit them low. The tackling's gotten worse. So wide receivers and tight ends have never been more confident. The rules are all offensive-based and offensive-leaning. So it's not like Brady. It's the first time in his career he's done that. And I like Mike Evans, but he's not Jerry Rice. I mean, there's a reason for this. The game is getting really easy for quarterbacks. And I'll give you an example. You don't even need great weapons. You don't even need great experience. Mac Jones yesterday had good protection. 76% completion rate, a touchdown, no picks, 230 yards, 25 points. Didn't play a great team, but Mac Jones started 1 year of college. He's now in the NFL, and he moved the ball and 250 yards and 25 points and a touchdown and 76% because he had competent protection. That's why it's so important for the Chargers that they have Justin Herbert and Rashawn Slater, the left tackle. Rashawn Slater is in the argument through the first 5 weeks of the season of being the best left tackle in football. He's that good. And Herbert's in the argument to be a top five quarterback, obviously, in the first 5 weeks. Herbert knows every snap. I've got time. You can't stop my receivers. And I've said this for years. I started noticing it about 7, 8 years ago in Southern California, is that the great athletes, young kids, always set culture and trends. And it was about 7, 8 years ago, I noticed in California, of their 250 high school football players, there were no good running backs anymore. You got like one in the whole state. We have 40 million people. And you'd have like 50 five-star wide receivers or four-star wide receivers because the kids were telling you, the money's at wide receiver. The money's at quarterback. The money's at cornerback. The money's at edge rusher. No, you're not getting a second contract at running back. So kids figured it out. So you're getting all these athletes now. They're playing quarterback. They're playing wide receiver. They don't want to be running backs. So the game, the big, I mean, you got 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers, ballers out there. USC's got a kid, Drake London, could have been an NBA player. He goes to wide receiver, like 15 catches a game. You can't stop him. The rules help him, his athletic ability. So it's, there's a reason. I mean, Cleveland and the Chargers yesterday, there's great defensive players all over the field. Neither team could stop each other. So I just look at Brady, and it's like, don't retire if your industry gets easier for you. By the way, I want to touch on this with Cleveland. So I said this. Joy is my witness. I said this, I think on Friday. I said it's going to be a very important 7 to 8 weeks for Baker Mayfield. And I've always said this. If you had a brother and he was more successful than you were, but he lived in Seattle and you lived in Tampa, you don't have, it's not in your face every day. No big deal. But what if he was your neighbor and he had a better house than you, and every year he brought a new Porsche, his kids went to a better school, every day it was just jammed in your face. Hey, get a little annoying, right? And I said, for Baker Mayfield, it's one thing to lose, but he hasn't gotten the bag yet. He hasn't been paid. And this general manager and head coach did not draft him. They inherited him. And I said, watch the next 7 to 8 weeks because he's going to be on the field with his contemporaries. He's now officially 0-1 against Justin Herbert, somebody in his age group. Next week, this week, oh, it's Kyler Murray. Couple weeks, it's Joe Burrow. Then it's Mac Jones. Then it's Lamar Jackson. Bye, Lamar Jackson. So it's not just that he's playing games. He's playing games against all these young quarterbacks who have similar experience. Baker's got the better O-line than all of them. And what happens if you start losing them and you have a minute 26 and the ball and you move it 26 yards. I mean, Baker's last two drives were handed off on a 3rd and 10 and then moved 26 yards with a minute 20 left. It's not great. Remember I said in Kansas City his last two drives, 3 and out, pick. So now you're starting to get contemporaries side by side and you're watching them. And I didn't think Baker played bad at all yesterday, but I think this is a really interesting point. So you come off the Herbert loss, go home, here comes Kyler Murray. Off, by the way, not a great Kyler Murray game. So that's going to be a focus football team. So it's very interesting. Not making any predictions, but it's a very interesting 8-week time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's been on Fox, NFL on Fox, the number one show forever. Super Bowl champ, 13 decorated years in the NFL, and he's our friend Howie Long. He is joining us. Of course, his sons, Chris and Kyle, played in the NFL. You know, it's interesting. There are things during a season you can correct. There's a trade deadline. You draft a player. They're just not quite ready. They get better by Thanksgiving than they were on Labor Day. And then there's things you can't correct. And I look at Kansas City's defense, and I know Chris Jones is coming back. They'll be better up front. But Howie, that Buffalo did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted to. They kind of pushed him around. I don't know if some of this Kansas City defense, is it all, they're 2-3. I don't know how much is correctable.
Well, and I think when the offense has a bad night, which they did, you could write some of the other losses off, particularly on offense, to mistakes that were made, poor choices. The numbers were big. They were running the ball, really effectively. I love the way they were running the football. And they were putting up big numbers through the air, and Patrick was making his share of plays. And they're kind of a Ferrari offense.
Yeah.
And, Buffalo made the decision, we're going to play coverage. And they've had a lot of time to think about this. They had the two losses versus them last year. And, you go on the road in Kansas City, and this is their second loss there, which is really saying something. But they forced them to be something they don't like to be, and that's patient.
Yeah.
The check downs were there. The middle of the field was open, the seam. They didn't work it. There were some dropped balls. One interception went right through the hands of one of the receivers. To me, this was a game where the defense becomes much more glaring when your offense, which you rely on every week to be great, stumbles.
I want to talk about the Chargers-Browns game, which was crazy fun. So this was Jimmy Johnson on your guys' show yesterday. Jimmy talking about Justin Herbert. Here it is. Jimmy Johnson.
The Chargers, they've got a star at quarterback. Justin Herbert, six touchdown passes in the red zone the last couple of weeks. And in fact, if I was drafting in the NFL today, of all the players, my number one pick would be Justin Herbert. He's that big a star.
Over Mahomes?
Over Mahomes.
Well, it's interesting because Oregon football well because one of your sons played there. And you saw Herbert before all of us saw Herbert. I got to tell you, when I watch him, I talked to an offensive guy, a former NFL coach this week, and he said Herbert would be easier to coach than Mahomes because he's so disciplined. His size, his footwork, he's a pleasure to coach. Not a lot of correctable stuff here. I don't know. I look at Herbert, and I don't want to be too hyper on a Monday, but, man, you've been watching him play since college, Howie. It's different.
Yeah. I said it last year in the middle of the season. I think he's a generational talent. I think 5-6 times a game he does something, makes a throw, pulls it down and runs like he did yesterday, 4 touchdowns through the air, 1 on the ground. He's had 11 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks, no interceptions. He's big. He's super athletic. He has a cannon for an arm. He has that kind of Northwest sensibility. He's super smart. To me, it's a no-brainer. I think, the system in Oregon didn't necessarily play to his talents.
Right.
But, once they got to the bowl game and once he got to the Senior Bowl. And here's the thing about quarterback. It's the hardest position to predict in terms of translation from high school to college, college to pro, and sometimes you just have to trust what you see.
Yeah.
And you could make the same statement for his left tackle, Slater. Slater, to me, was the most kind of polished, game-ready, pure left tackle in the draft. And they were fortunate enough to get him, and now you've locked up your left tackle and you've locked up your quarterback, who is not just a franchise quarterback, but you can make the argument if you're listing the top 5 quarterbacks, he's certainly in the conversation towards the top.
Hey, listen, we both know John Gruden. You know him better than I did. Ugly remarks, nobody's going to defend those. I don't know what happens going forward. But once again, they start hot. They're a little bit of a mess. He's now in trouble. You're kind of gut feeling on the state of this team. I don't have an answer for it, but they look great in September. Maybe it's an offensive coach in the offseason, dials up plays. They come in with a lot of juice. They lose it. They were flat. He's in trouble. What do you see going forward for Gruden and the Raiders?
Well, I felt like this was a different team. I will say this. The offensive line has been a real issue.
Yeah.
And part of that's injury, and part of that's just not being able to put the best 5 guys out there on the field. And that chips away at number one, your run game, and it chips away at what your run game sets up, and it puts Derek Carr in unenviable situations. But they just didn't play well. They were flat, and I'm not quite sure why, and it's something, maybe the distractions during the week, I don't know. I think moving forward, though, they need to get refocused and kind of understand where they are, and they're, what, 3-2, and that's, it's a lot better than 2-3 or sitting where some other folks are doing. But when you're looking at the Chargers and you're looking at the Chiefs, that's a tough road to hoe in that division.
It really is. You know, you look around the NFL right now, and, I mean, we have 4 or 5 teams with young quarterbacks, so we know that's not going to be as dynamic. But then you look at Herbert and even Baker yesterday and Lamar tonight, and you start looking at Mahomes and Josh Allen. I got to tell you, the quality of football and athlete, Howie, do you realize you're smaller than some of these quarterbacks now?
I'm a little bit heavier. Maybe I'm 253, maybe. And these guys are, you know, you look at Herbert. Well, the kid from Buffalo, Josh Allen, he's a grown man. and some of those designed runs, which the Chiefs really didn't have an answer for, and some of the pass plays off of that also, I think they're doing a great job of playing to his strengths, yes. His abilities.
Yes.
you remember when he came out, Colin, talk about, you know, people being wrong. I mean, kid plays at Wyoming, small competition, big athletic cannon for an arm. He's inaccurate, and you can't coach that. Where is it written in stone? Did it come down off the hill that you can't coach a guy up? His first 2 years versus the last 2 years, it's really been a big jump. And you know, credit to him, credit to Palmer, I think he works with, and tweaking his mechanics and kind of reevaluating where he was. And I think he's got a great coaching staff. And I think the future is bright in Buffalo. And he's a guy that is perfect for that football team and what they want to do.
You know, it's interesting. A year ago, at the start of last year, had the pandemic issues. At the start, I said, I don't like Dallas because they have a bunch of good players and they're overpaying for virtually all of them. But they've hit on four draft picks, Howie, and four different units. CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, the UCLA defensive lineman, and I'm missing one of them here. There's another kid. Trayvon Diggs. Four different units. They've hit home runs on draft picks. And now 20 games later, I'm like, oh, this is a totally different team. Now they got some discount players. I look at Dallas today, Howie, and I'm like, oh, that team can win playoff games. That's a multi. Am I being fooled here?
No, and I think really, you know, you look at Zeke and you look at the two back system, and Zeke is the power back, and they've got the change up back, and,
yep.
And Lamb to me. You know, Cooper's been banged up on and off throughout the course of this early part of the season. And, you know, if he can get healthy, Lamb looks like a number one.
Yes, yes.
You know, and Schultz got a lot of snaps last year, and I think Dak got comfortable with him at tight end. And you know, he plays somewhat of a big role, too. And their offensive line is somewhat healthy, and they've got production out of the backup right tackle that you know, most people don't have the luxury of having. But Dak and Kellen Moore on the same page. I think Mike McCarthy, when he made the decision, whether that decision was made for him or he made the decision to keep Kellen Moore in place for continuity with Dak, you know, verbiage, their relationship being in sync, and I think those two are in sync.
Yep.
And I think when your quarterback is your best guy on the team and he's your hardest worker, it just has a ripple effect on the entire locker room. And what Diggs is doing.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it might look easy, but it's not. And the preparation and what goes into being in position, and Dan Quinn has done a great job changing his system and saying, look, maybe I'm not getting it done the right way, and I've got to adapt to this personnel, something they didn't do the year before. And they are flying around and they're forcing turnover. And I say, how can you kind of sustain this pace of turnovers? But when you're in position to be successful through hard work, both on the field and in the film room, and that's what he is. And he has wide receiver skills at DB.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's just different. There are guys that come into this league Rashawn Slater, as you mentioned, you just watch how he resets his feet, even if he's beat. You watch his hands. You see about four guys out of the draft.
That's a good defense.
No,
that's a good defense.
Did you hear that story, Howie, that he literally told his running backs, stop chipping Myles Garrett. I can block him myself. It's like, what?
Who said you know that? What, though, with chip blocks, it's interesting because more often than not, I see the chip block, the timing on it, the communication, because if you're getting a chip block, you don't want to overset. And you've got that help from outside. A lot of times, the tackle will maybe overset. The chipper knocks him back inside, and you've overset, and it gives him the inside lane. I think he's more comfortable just by myself, yep. Stay inside out, and I can athletically, match up with whoever I'm playing against. And that's certainly the case down there.
Good stuff. Howie Long, the Hall of Famer. Great seeing you. That looks like very nice stone behind you. I'm not going to comment on the price, but it's a man of means. That's very nice behind you, whatever that is. Very
well,
nice.
My wife liked the stone, so I got it. And that's kind of a good move. I think that's what you do.
Yeah, I think that is exactly what you do and how you stay married to your beautiful wife.
Yes.
Howie Long, the Hall of Famer. Great seeing you.